Using the breath as a focus for mindfulness practice, or focus for meditation practice, one of the issues that needs to be addressed is how we relate, how we respond, how we to situations where the mind wanders away from the breath. Because inevitably it'll happen, the mind will get all caught up in thoughts and preoccupations and wander away. And then what is your relationship to that wandering mind? And what's your relationship to coming back to the breath, if your primary focus is going to be the breath? And what happens is some people, it's very interesting to study, and you shouldn't just simply come back to the breath kind of in your normal way. You should take some period of time to actually look into, study, what happens to you, what reactions, what responses, what attitudes come into play when you notice your mind has drifted off into thought. Some people will be judgmental, be critical. Some people will get engaged in negotiations. Some people will get engaged in weighing the balance of, you know, how pleasant the thought is and how unpleasant the meditation is. And, well, you know, I deserve that particular fantasy for a while because that's really pleasant, and, you know, or I can let go of that fantasy because that wasn't so pleasant. Let me go back to the breath. And there's all kinds of things that come into play. Sometimes discouragement, sometimes self-criticalness, sometimes comparing mind. You sit there and your mind, your breath wanders off, and you wonder how everybody else around you is doing. I bet their breath hasn't wandered off at all. Or you compare it to a retreat before, last retreat, or the last sitting. I said, boy, the last sitting I was able to get to 4 breaths without wandering off, and this sitting was only 2 breaths. What's wrong with me? So to look at what goes on there, because it's possible to see there's a lot of extra stuff that goes on there. And the goal, in a sense, is to make it simple, not to kind of add all these extra judgments and negotiations and attitudes about what it means, but simply, very simply notice, oh, the mind has wandered off. It's that simple. And then to come back to the breath and begin again. Coming back to the breath is also something to be studied. How is it that you come back to the breath? Some people jerk their mind back to the breath. Some people pounce back on the breath. Some people are very hesitant and kind of hang back and kind of, well, I think I'll kind of get into the breath, you know. And it's kind of just very kind of light touch kind of approach. There's many ways, many kind of attitudes in how we bring our attention back to the breath. Some of them also are extra and unneeded and sometimes actually counterproductive. You know, jerking the mind around is not so useful. So it's to notice your mind's wander, it's like, oh shit, let's come back. You know, maybe it works with a puppy sometimes, but, you know, it doesn't really work for us. So actually to look at that and study, I get to know what your tendencies are in that point. The possibility exists that in that point of when the mind wanders off, there's an opportunity there. And the opportunity is that your mind wanders off. I'm sure you're all familiar with it by now. And then it wanders off, and then at some point you notice that the mind has wandered off. At some point you notice that you're lost in thought. That moment of noticing is a moment of mindfulness. And if what you're doing is mindfulness practice, you've been mindful that moment you noticed. Most people don't give themselves credit for that moment of mindfulness. That moment of mindfulness, that's not real practice, because real practice is supposed to feel hard and effortful, or, you know, it's supposed to kind of be doing something and responsible. But that's a beautiful moment of mindfulness when you simply, the mind just in its own way notices, I've been drifting off, I've been lost. So you don't have to come back to the breath, you don't have to come back to being mindful, because you are mindful that moment. It's a natural mindfulness. So what you can do, opportunity that exists there, is to appreciate the fact that now you're mindful. You're mindful of the fact that the mind is in thought or wandering off in thought, but it's a moment of mindfulness. You're a moment of seeing what's going on. And then take that moment of mindfulness that's given there, the natural one, And then very gently promote it. Work with it. See that that's what's going on, and then let it kind of grow or suffuse or kind of start including the breath within it. So it's not a matter of kind of jerking the mind around, but a matter of just simply then taking what's naturally there, opening it up to include the breath. So if you're completely lost in thought, as I like to say, there's no problem, right? Because you're lost. You don't even know you're lost in thought. That's what it means. So just, you know, continue as you are. No, I can't tell you any different. However, at some point, sooner or later, you'll wake up. You'll notice that. Appreciate that moment of waking up. And there's something about that moment of waking up, which not even you're doing, in a sense, which is a key then to continuing a kind of easeful approach to the mindfulness. So mindfulness doesn't have to be this effortless thing, the effortful thing that you're going to pounce on your breath to go back. And one way, I know Sylvia Borstein teaches sometimes, when you notice the mind has wandered off and you've woken up, notice at that moment if you're on an in-breath or an out-breath. So it's not a matter of kind of looking for the breath or pouncing back on it. The breath is happening anyway. And just kind of gently notice, oh, is this an in-breath I'm waking up on or an out-breath? And that's one way that some people find they can go back into the breath in this kind of very much more easeful, allowing way. So those two things. Study what happens to you, what your tendencies are when you wander off and you bring your mind back. And then see if maybe you can use that natural mindfulness that arises in its own good time after you've wandered off. Whatever little mindfulness is there, see if you can use that to promote that for a different way of coming back to your breathing. So it's gentle, forgiving, accepting. So you're not in conflict with yourself, you're not fighting against yourself, you're not jerking yourself around. Just promoting this mindfulness to come back. And if that didn't all make sense to you, then just forget it. So take a comfortable, upright posture. Softly close your eyes. And take two or three deep breaths. Settle into yourself. Settle into your body and your seat. And then let go of your breath or breathe in a normal way. And spend a few moments now just being aware of your body in whatever way your body presents itself to you. Choiceless awareness of body sensations. Perhaps it's like a dance of sensations. Some stay longer, some are stronger. Some appear and disappear quite quickly. Kind of settle back and kind of take a panoramic view of your body, letting the body sensation just arise and pass. And then within your body, as part of your body, become aware of your breathing. Become aware of the body's experience of breathing. If there's some very simple and obvious way of relaxing your breath, the relaxing part of your torso, so it's easier to breathe, relax. Diaphragm, the stomach, the chest. And then let your awareness of the breathing center itself in the place in your body where the breath is most pronounced or most familiar. The arising and falling of the abdomen, perhaps. The expansion and contraction of the chest. The sensation of the air in and out through the nostrils. Wherever the experience of breathing seems the most compelling or interesting or pronounced for you, let your focus be there. Then feel what the inhalation feels like in that place, and feel what the exhalation feels like in that place. Feel how they're different from each other. One of the key elements that makes mindfulness different than concentration is that mindfulness practice notices how things change. Notice the changing nature of our experience. And the sensations connected to breathing are constantly changing. The more carefully and sensitively you can feel the breathing, the more you feel a range of small different sensations which are arising and passing. As you're sitting here now, enter into the changing nature of the breathing. Notice the kaleidoscope of various sensations, expanding, contracting, pressure, tautness, vibration, softening, letting go, pulling, pushing. Maintain as continuous a connection with your breathing as you can, letting yourself enter into the changing nature of the breathing, as if the breath is a river, and you enter into the flowing river. Become aware of all the little ripples of changing sensations connected to breathing in and out. Get as close as you can, as continuous as you can. Let your mind become as still as possible so you can sense and feel really carefully what's going on. So when we spend a practice time focusing almost exclusively on the breathing, it's perhaps useful to just remind you all that mindfulness practice, of course, includes everything that we do, all our experiences. And so there could easily arise, risen during sitting, other things, feelings, emotions, thoughts, that normally would have been attended to, would have been brought into focus. However, since we kept coming back to the breath, there perhaps wasn't much chance for that. As the breath gets more concentrated, is more still and more present for the breath over time, and the breath gets more subtle, it's kind of like the breath, our normal breath is relatively coarse. And as the meditation gets more and more settled and quiet, the breath gets more and more subtle, and sometimes it even feels like it disappears. As the breath gets more subtle, it's almost as if it allows us to go through layers of our mind. So that there's a coarse layers of our mind, there's more and more refined or subtle layers of our mind. And as the breath gets more and more refined, it's like an elevator kind of goes through layers of our heart or our psyche or our mind. And then we might get to a certain level of subtlety, and it turns out that we're at the third floor of the mind, and the third floor has never been cleaned. And so suddenly you spend the next year cleaning up the third floor. You didn't even know you had a third floor. And you just, last thing you and let alone know that it was messy. And then after a while, you can be cleaned up a little bit, and then you're able to go to the fourth floor if it's going up, I guess, or whatever. And then the fourth floor turns out to be quite clean and wonderful, and it's nice to hang out there for a while. And then, you go to the fourth floor, and it's something else that's going on there. So as we go into the breath, it gets more subtle. It's very interesting to notice what makes it difficult to be with the breath, what distracts us or kind of pulls our attention away. And the more subtle we get, the more subtle into the insights we can get into how the mind works and what goes on for us. The more concentrated we are, the more stiller we can be with the breath. The more we tend to notice such subtleties as the underlying attitudes, the underlying motivations upon which much of the rest of our life is being built. Often we can't see that unless we get down there really, really get down there to the subtlety of happening. So the breath is very helpful, even when it doesn't work. So don't be discouraged by your inability to be with the breath. At various times in practice it's easy, and various times it's hard. At times when it's hard to be with the breath can be very rich times of practice, either by keep focusing on the breath and use that time to develop the concentration muscle, or let go of the breath and attend carefully to what else is going on, what makes it difficult to be with the breath, and develop your mindfulness with those things, those feelings, those thoughts, those reactions, or whatever it might be. So I hope that all this has been useful or interesting or helpful for you. I've never done a whole day in Palo Alto just on the breath this way, and I thought it was important to offer it. It's so foundational to what we do. So What I have done at Spirit Rock a number of years is a four-day series. The first day on mindfulness of breathing, the second day on mindfulness of the body, and the third day on mindfulness of emotions and thoughts. And then the fourth day on mindfulness of what's called the dharmas, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. And I'm scheduled either in March or April to offer another day-long retreat on the body. So it's kind of a continuation of that series. But I haven't scheduled the rest of it here in Palo Alto. So we'll see how these go. And if you're interested in having the other two foundations, you can maybe do them in the fall or some other time. So now it's your turn. We have a few minutes, and it'd be nice to hear from you questions, concerns that you have from what happened today or what I said. Or also it's nice to hear, for me it would be nice to hear a little bit how it was for you. The different exercises, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, what was useful, what was not. Please.
For me, what I liked the most was counting the breath. That little session you did helped me. I felt like I got more focused. At least part of the meditation really helped.
So, for Renee, focusing on the breath was really helpful. Counting the breath was really helpful to provide focus. And some people find that it's very helpful to make that a primary practice for a while, just counting. I did it for years. That was my main and sole meditation practice for years, was counting my breath. Yeah.
I appreciate it. I actually became curious to the quality of the transition. Uh-huh. How do I experience the beginning and end? Really opens something
for me instead of kind of saying intention about doing it.
Actually to
be
curious and to
modify
where is it.
Great, thank you. Yes, please.
I found it challenging not to try to control the breath, particularly in the walking meditation where
my main suggestion is not helpful, because my main suggestion is don't worry about it. Just if you find yourself controlling the breath, just don't be bothered by that. Just continue on your merry way controlling the breath. It might not be as pleasant as other kinds of breaths, but we're not in this business for just pleasure.
Your visualization of breathing in every part of the body and then coming back and at the end saying, now. All that at the
same time while you're focusing on your breath was a nice reminder.
Great.
It was hard to keep with the breath. I just wanted to go on thinking something else, and then I just get back to the breath and just felt so, this is it for the whole day. So nothing special was happening other than just being, you know, with it, and I just found it very hard.
Yeah.
Then I kind of, I was okay with it then. And I enjoyed very much the counting. So I was really counting.
You might try doing more counting. But you shouldn't underestimate the power of coming back. The mind wanders off and come back. And it might be that you feel, you know, you're doing it every 2 seconds or every 10 seconds, or maybe. But you keep doing it, and nothing really seems to happen. You have to do it again. That can be very, very powerful. You might not see the benefits in the moment of sitting, nor during the day, But it might have a big impact on the rest of your day or the rest of your life later on. It might make you a little more equanimous, a little more accepting, a little more present. It might help you to wake up and be more in other aspects of your life. It can be very, very helpful. So I don't know if it will be that case, but there are times when practice is very, very, very bland. And seemingly nothing happens, nothing interesting, and no big lights, and none of the big bang theories of spirituality. And those periods of time can be actually quite significant. And if you just continue doing it steadily.
Interested in that idea of unconscious and conscious and automatic and not automatic, and I found I couldn't perceive the line. I mean, it seemed like one blended into the other almost imperceptibly, and that just fascinated me. Whether I was controlling or I wasn't controlling, it was so subtle that it was really a very, if not a bright line for people. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was a thought. It was stimulated by what you were saying about the botanical point of view. And it occurred to me that, I mean, what we're looking at is really just kind of the mechanical level of breathing. And that there's all these unbelievably interesting, complicated other things going on we really aren't conscious of at all, chemically and physically. I just started thinking about that and then sort of came back.
Yeah, I know. I realized there was very little opportunity to go off on that train of thinking while you're here because we didn't give you any time for that. But you can go home now. And the amazing thing is that when you think about those things, all the things that are going on, all the regulatory systems of the body, and so much goes on without our control or involvement, that if you kind of step back and look at it all, you come to the conclusion that 99.99999% of your life is happening without your involvement. And then, we take so much responsibility for that 0.00001% that we have some say in. Please.
Being open to the joy and pleasure of breathing. And for several months, I've had a lot of resistance to my meditation practice, and framing it in terms of openness to pleasure from the breath is a really nice reframing.
Great, great. So for those of you who that worked, please experiment with that and do that more. For some of you, it might not have worked. That whole focus on pleasure just was disaster. I know. It's so variable what works for some people and what doesn't. So, if focusing on pleasure helped you be more present for the breath and pulled you in, and use that. The breath will be more interested. Your mind is more interested in being present if it's, if it's present for something that's a little bit pleasant.
I appreciated the instructions for walking meditation. I found them all interesting, and I really found a great deal of ease with the last instruction. I don't know if I got it right, but it felt your description of coming back to the breath as a...
If it was an in-breath or an out-breath when you came back, and that was...
The part of when I do that for myself, the sense is that I'm not bringing my mind back to the breath. It's not like I'm coming back to the breath, but more like the breath is coming back to me. I'm letting it come back to me.
What is the fourth foundation of mindfulness? What does the Dharma's mean?
The Dharma's, in this case, it's a little bit hard to define what Dharma's are. But it's best, most easily it's defined is by looking at the categories of things we pay attention to in the fourth foundation. And we pay, it's more, the first three foundations are more, some people say analytical, and it's simply noticing what's there in and of itself. And the fourth foundation is more synthetical, synthesis of how things work together. So the first three categories of the fourth foundation are those things which interrupt or inhibit the process of waking up. So the five hindrances, most obviously, the five categories of the psychophysical being, where we tend to identify as being the self. So they're called the five skandhas, the five aggregates, and then the six ayatanas, the six knots, the six places where six main places where the mind tends to get knotted up with experience. So starting to become aware of those three categories of things, and then becoming aware of what happens inside of us as we start waking up, which is the seven factors of awakening become stronger. The seven factors. And then the fifth category is the Four Noble Truths. So, which also somewhat synthetic. You see the relationship between things, between, clinging and suffering, for example. So those are the things. So we start becoming aware of these patterns in the fourth foundation. And usually on Vipassana retreats and Spirit Rock retreats, the first three foundations more or less are kind of covered during the instructions, but the fourth foundation of mindfulness is often covered in the Dharma talks, because we talk about the five hindrances, the seven factors of awakening, and the Four Noble Truths there. Okay, so yes.
So a practical question. The walking meditation instructions that we got today, practice with those or go back to the regular mindful practice of walking meditation?
You're the arbitrator of that. A little bit also depends, the circumstances in which you're practicing. But mostly they're kind of, what I taught you, the walking meditation today is mostly concentration practices. And if you find that you need to get concentrated, like you find you feel very agitated and you're not really getting settled, you might adapt those and use those until you feel you're present. So sometimes when you go on retreat, for example, a person might spend the first half day or the first day with something like that, and then once they kind of arrive at the retreat, which usually people usually arrive after they arrive, then you can switch over to the usual way of doing the walking. So we have arrived somewhere. So may whatever benefit and merit that has come from this day of focusing on the breath, may it be shared with all beings everywhere, so that all the beings, all the people we encounter as we leave here, and the rest of the day and the next days, may they in some way, maybe unseen by us, but some way receive all the benefits that we've gotten. May we hand it over to them. So whatever patience, whatever concentration and presence, whatever compassion and self-acceptance that we've had, that we share that with others, so that all beings may be happy. So I thank you very much for the day. We have a little bit of work to reassemble.